The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. On that day, Jesus went out of the house and sat down by the sea. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat down, and the whole crowd stood along the shore. And he spoke to them at length in parables, saying, "A sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell on the path, and birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky ground, where it had little soil. It sprang up at once because the soil was not deep. And when the sun rose, it was scorched, and it withered for lack of roots. Some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it. But some seed fell on rich soil and produced fruit, 100 or 60 or 30-fold. Whoever has ears ought to hear." The Gospel of the Lord. Good. So once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. Tiniest of tiny little thoughts for you today. Jesus spoke to them at length in parables. Now, we're used to Jesus speaking in parables, but it might help you to appreciate the fact that at this point in the gospel message, Jesus hasn't spoken to people in parables before. Up until now, he's just taught them in a straightforward manner. "Blessed are those who show mercy, mercy shall be theirs. I say to you, anyone who grows angry with his brother shall be liable to judgment." Straightforward manner. He's worked miracles to draw attention to himself and thus to his message. He's called his apostles and he's sent them out. And now he begins to speak in parables. Now, why does he suddenly speak in parables? The reason is because the time has come for him to provoke a response from those who hear him. Jesus doesn't teach like a philosopher. Jesus doesn't teach even like an ordinary rabbi. He wants to provoke a response in you to him personally. And the way he does that is by teaching in parables. Now, you might have forgotten, or maybe I can't remember if I've said this when I said this last, but a parable is not a story. A parable is not a metaphor. A parable is a riddle. And it's intended to provoke a response by making you think about the part of the message that doesn't fit. There's always something in a parable that's out of place. And that's what gets you to think about this response. So there's a few things that are out of place here in this parable of the sower and the seed. And I'll just share a couple of them with you, okay? The first of them is that the sower throws seed on the thorns and on the rocky path, and he throws the seed on the bad ground, and only a little bit of the seed ends up on the good ground. And what you're supposed to realize there is that this is a really lousy farmer. Okay, because imagine this as a parable. A man went to the Home Depot, and there he bought some seeds. And he threw some of the seeds in the parking lot, and he threw some of the seeds on the sidewalk, and some of the seeds he spilled on the floor of his garage, and some of the seeds he planted. See, that would be a clearer example of what Jesus is doing here in this parable. Okay? When you buy seeds, they're expensive. You carefully plant them. You just don't throw them hither and thither, which leads you to one of two conclusions. Either this is the worst farmer in the whole world, or this guy is so rich that he can afford to be extravagant. Which of the two do you think it is when you know that the sower of the seed stands in the place of God? Yeah, of course, it's the second one. It's so extravagant that he can afford to just cast the seed hither and thither. And the message there is actually a message about how we're supposed to evangelize one another. God says to nobody, "I don't think you're worth my message." He shares his word with people even when he knows they won't respond to it. Because, why is? Because that's what love does. Love is just extravagant. And God's love is extravagant. I was thinking about, you know, they discover 15 to 18,000 new species of animals every year. About half of those are insects and bugs, but I mean, still, how many species do you need? Right? I was thinking about how big the universe is. It's so big that light from the Big Bang 13.5 billion years ago still hasn't reached us yet. We don't even know how big the universe is. How big a universe do you need to make, God? That's just the way he is. He's extravagant, and he's extravagant with the spreading of his message, with the idea that you're supposed to be too. Okay? Here's another thing that doesn't fit. Some of it fell in rich soil and produced fruit 100 or 60 or 30-fold. An ordinary harvest was a 7-fold return on which you sowed. A bumper crop was a 10-fold return. 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. You're supposed to hear that and think, not only is that impossible, but that's miraculous. That's beyond anything any human effort can possibly accomplish. And this, after 3/4 of what he does falls on ground that can never produce any fruit. With the message, once again, that this is how you're supposed to be, because that's the way God is to you. Little tiny message here, that 3/4 of the effort that you make to try to share the word of God with other people, to try to help somebody else find the right way, think of it in any way you want, right? 3/4, you know, the rocky ground and the thorns and the path, 3/4 of what you do, it's not going to make any difference whatsoever. However, that 1/4 that does fall on good soil, it's going to produce fruit beyond anything that you ever could possibly do on your own. You know, I think about the 12 apostles when I say Mass here at this altar. And then look at us 2,000 years later, and we're still bearing fruit from what they did. It's God's work. And God works through you like that too. Okay? So with a very, very simple message for you today. Don't be afraid to do what good you can where you can, even if you don't think it's going to make any difference. The fact is, you just don't know what God might have planned. Spread far and wide your goodwill, your good works, your efforts to evangelize, and let's leave the rest to God's providence, shall we? Amen.